It's funny in archery. So you're out there and you're putting it on the line. You're going for stuff, you know, whether it be a 14 or a 12 ring on hard targets, and you know, you sink or swim.
Yeah.
So many times, and boy, I've sunk a lot, but boy, I've won a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some interesting arrows. Tara sums it up best. I keep it exciting.
Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the Competition Archery Media Podcast is brought to you by our fine platinum sponsors, Trueball Excel, Matthews, PSE, Black Eagle, Elite, B3 Archery, and Victory Archery. So we're in studio today with a very special guest right off of his second win of the ASA season, Jeff Hopkins.
Yeah, happy to be here, man.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Appreciate that. You're headed on your, we kind of caught you heading from your parents to the IBO.
Yep. So a little short journey and figured stop off here and we get this knocked out.
So Jeff, we have tons to talk about because you're like the encyclopedia of ASA and 3D archery. Now, well, I just found out this morning, tell everybody your track record for shoots at the ASA.
Oh, wow. I've never missed one. In 1993, the first ASA was in Gainesville, Florida. And it seems like 1,000 years ago now. And it was the same year my wife and I got married. We got married the following month in March. And, you know, just...
You won twice.
Yeah. So, and the first ASA, I went there non-sponsored and finished second. And before I got home, and it's the beauty of the archery industry. You know, before that tournament meant, you know, shooting local tournaments here in Pennsylvania and Newcastle. 100 was my first 3D shoot. Some of the guys that I shot the tournament with, we all piled in a... rented a van and we drove to Florida and we shot the tournament. And, you know, I was getting ready to get married and, you know, really didn't know what I wanted to do in life. I was a farmer, you know, from a farm family.
Yeah.
Loved to hunt, loved the outdoors and loved shooting my bow. And, you know, just a lot of things changed. And, I was shooting a PSC Carroll Intruder bow at the time out of pocket. It wasn't a sponsored shooter. And before I got home, I had, you know, Bear Archery and Hoyt and PSC all, you know, congratulations on phone messages or bows at the door, you know, when we got home.
Kidding.
I mean, it was a crazy time in my life. And signed with Bear Archery. Fred Bear was a household name at the time. And just, you know, Bear Archery, you know, Bear Jennings was doing a lot for television and archery with the old ASA Wayne Pearson. And so I shot with him for years, you know, I think until the fall of 96.
What, and that one you shot in
97, I'm sorry, 97.
Until 97.
Yep.
You shot in the open pro class
for
that tournament?
Open pro class in that tournament. And I've shot all pro classes. I had a brief stint, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I shot a couple known pro classes.
Oh, okay.
I'd signed with, when I left Matthews, I'd signed with Hoyt and wanted to learn the new bow and shot a few known tournaments. But other than that, senior pro now, open pro, I've shot and I've never missed one. And I'm really proud of that. Along the way, I've been, you know, blessed with staying relatively healthy. I mean,
right.
I've had some accidents, breaking my shoulder and my leg and chicken pox at tournaments and, you know, all this along the way. But, you know, truly blessed along the way to be able to go to all that and not have, you know, family crisis going on or a wedding or something, you know, something very monumental in life. So, but I'm very proud of that. And I think in my archery career, the tournaments and the wins are one thing, but you know, I'm proud of never missing one of those.
Missing one.
Yeah. So
I can't do math, but that's like we're in 18 years basically, or actually it would be
no, we're way beyond that. We're in the
20. See, I told you I'm
93 to now, that's 28 years. 28 years, yeah.
Holy cow. So, 28 years, never missed
a lot of miles.
ASA.
Yeah. A lot of rental cars, a lot of airplane rides, a lot of, you know, speeding tickets. Well, that's a whole other show. But
so the first one, though, what's that like for you? farmer from Delaware, used to shooting local stuff, get into a van and drive to Florida?
Well, I had shot a lot of local stuff and done really well with it, and I wanted to shoot against the best. And so I will never forget that winter. Of course, we'll rewind back. In 92, they had the Outdoor Trail, which was just one tournament, a huge 3D tournament in Valdosta, Georgia, I believe. And I went to a meeting that they were going to have an ASA series of tournaments, and there would be 7 tournaments throughout the United States. And I signed up there, and my ASA number is 730. And, of course, the new bow with Martin, the Legend 730, that's where that comes from. And along the way, it's been a lot of great things that I've been a part of and been able to accomplish, but just the people along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So many great people.
I believe I had heard somewhere that you are the first 3D archer. I don't know if it's all archers, but I believe I heard the first 3D archer to win $1 million.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Man, I wish I still had that.
How is that? I mean, so you go to these tournaments. Again, you were on the local scene. You went to your first one. You came in second. Do you remember who some of the competition was?
Yeah, I mean, Randy Chappell won it, of course. There was, of course, the guys years ago, Randy Almer, just a great competitor. He was there. You know, there were so many archers there. You know, I guess TV personality now, Travis Turner with Realtree. Yeah. Him and I were great friends still to this day. He was there. Just some names. Alan Connor, I think, was there at the time shooting the first few tournaments. There's just a lot of, you know, it's a long time ago, almost 30 years ago. And, that was a great weekend. And nobody knew who I was. And I don't know, my life changed after that. I mean, nobody wanted my autograph until then, and other than the bank on my checks I wrote. But.
So after that, then did it kind of build? Like, did you keep up, you know, those top finishes through that season?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I finished third at the next one. Okay. It was in Louisiana, so I was, and Randy Chappell won it too. So he was first in points, and I was second ASA Shooter of the Year points. And you know, then the wheels came off. I went to the next one and finished last.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I had target panic real bad. And of course, you know, I grew up shooting, but I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I had no clue how to serve a bow to, you know, how to the correct way to shoot a release to what arrow spine was. I didn't know anything about it.
Is that right?
Complete, just off the street, let's go shoot, you know. And so I started hanging out, you know, we're at Lancaster right now, obviously. Even at that time, you know, Rob and Lancaster were the guru of archery stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'd make the hour and a half drive up here to get my Gordy. You know, and then I connected with some guys like Eddie Lockwood and Lester Tucker, guys from Delaware that, you know, helped me. You got to learn how to work on your race car.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to be a driver too.
So, right.
So I learned a lot. And then when I did finish last, I met a gentleman by the name of Curtis Beverly, who was coaching some people in archery. And Curtis passed away now, gosh, 3.5 years ago, I think, 4 years ago. And him and I gelled. We really did. And so he got me out of target panic, taught me so much, and we became very dear friends. And boy, in about the next couple of years when we got it going on, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We won a lot of tournaments.
When did you start that streak? So you had the record of 7 consecutive ASA Shooter of the Year.
So in 96, you know, and it's easy to talk about the great things, but I think in archery, you know, you have so many failures along the way and nobody else really remembers them. And probably one of the most epic failures for me in my career, happened in 96. And in 96, I won some tournaments finally, mm-hmm. and won several. And I was leading Shooter of the Year. And at that time, I think it paid $50,000 to win Shooter of the Year in ASA.
Man.
And my wife and I had bought a new truck, and we drove all the way to Albany, Georgia. And the second target of the tournament, I blank.
No kidding.
And I still had the lead
for
Shooter of the Year, but that's all I could focus on. And if anybody's listening, when you go to a tournament, shoot all 40 targets. Don't let one target ruin your weekend, you know. And, boy, it did. And I lost Shooter of the Year and just went home demoralized.
Really? Yeah.
And I only went home. You know, you look at the map and, you know, Georgia's down south and Delaware, Maryland, where we lived at the time, was north. So we're driving, and we're driving an hour and a half down the road, and I see a sign that says, and this is like 11 o'clock at night, I see a sign that says, welcome to Florida. I was so out of it, and I was so pissed that I had lost Shooter of the Year, and I'd had such a great year. I'd won, I think, four tournaments that year.
No kidding.
And just a wonderful year. And so...
Drove the wrong way.
Yeah. That was a Dumb and Dumber movie moment, you know? So... But I went home and, you know, I collected my thoughts and I said, I am going to be bound and determined to correct that. And so, you know, I went to Florida and won it. And I went to the next ASA and won it. And, you know, in 98, I started the 7-year run of Shooter of the Year titles. In 97, I won the world. And I think I won the ASA world, I think 6 out of 7 years too there.
No kidding.
So, yeah, it was a good run. And, you know, but can't focus just on the wins. You can almost, you know, I tell my son this all the time practicing, where every day in archery is a lot like life. You're as prepared as you are for a business meeting or as prepared as you are for me planning the field, you're going to have breakdowns. You know, you're going to have a flat tire some days.
Yep.
And archery is a lot like that.
You know? How about that? Now, I've spoken to many archers out on the ASA circuit, and they all reference you as kind of the ultimate competitor. And one of the things is they also say is that Jeff Hopkins is the best one at getting inside their heads. Little things that he says out there on the range, you know.
Well, I got into this a long time ago, and I don't think I've ever varied from it. And I still, look, I'm very competitive, sure. Anybody that knows me, I don't like to lose. But when I do lose, I'm actually happier in a weird way. It's like, I'm there to have fun.
Right.
If I'm shooting bad, I'm usually cutting up and laughing because at that point it's like,
you know, what can you do?
Yeah. But I got into this to be a better shot bow hunting, to pride myself and be a better archer. And it evolved into other things. But ultimately I got into it because I really enjoyed hanging out with people with the same passion, same direction, you know, passion of archery and passion of hunting and the outdoors.
Yeah.
So that has never changed. I want to have fun. So a lot of that stuff maybe get interpreted maybe the wrong way out there. Cause I, you know, if I shoot a target and it's like, you know,
they're always laughing when they say it.
Yeah. But. It's like, boy, that got there quick, you know?
Yeah.
And it usually did, you know, uh-huh. It's like, that surprised me and maybe out of habit, but you know, cool times, fun times.
Yeah. So how did it fit in? So the farming life, I mean, that's, you know, got its seasons, but it's got some seasons where it's all in, you know, nearly 24/7.
Yeah, we go 100 miles an hour to.
Yeah. You know. how is it, does 3D archery, does that mesh around that? Or did you have to make room for archery with your farming?
Well, you find time for the things you love in life. And I love archery, and farming is in our family. It's in our blood. And you find time to do the things you love to do. And when I started shooting a bow, you know, it goes back to, you know, if I could make a living of doing something I really love to do. And sure, if farming can still maintain that level of, you know, income/enjoyment, I love to farm. I love farming. And so, yeah, the blend, it meshes good together because, you know, 3D targets, you know, tournament season's over with at fall harvest. And then in the spring, it's hectic to get stuff done.
That first part of the equation.
Yeah. So, but once you get the crops planted, there's other little things along the way, keeping the weeds down and keeping stuff sprayed and bugs and all the fun stuff. But, in the fall. No, there's nothing else going on other than we want to get done to be able to go hunting.
To go hunting.
Yeah.
So, that, and I wanted to talk to you about that because obviously we've been talking about Delaware. That's where you got your start. That's where your parents still live and farm there. Mm-hmm. When and why did you make the move to Iowa?
Well, my wife and I got married in 1993, and we dated for 5 years. And Tara worked at MBNA America and corporate America. She worked her way up the ladder and very successful with the bank. And, you know, and I was very successful with my archery career. And where we lived, we couldn't afford to buy a farm. I mean, land is just really pricey for to be able to farm it and to enjoy it.
Right.
And, you know, you kept hearing when you go to the tournaments, and I had hunted Kansas and Illinois and South Dakota and Montana, and I had hunted these other states, and everybody's Iowa, Iowa, Iowa. I'm like, I'll go look at it, you know. So we started looking at Iowa years ago, and we fell in love with Iowa. And then we made the mistake of going there in January when the snow's on, and you're looking at a farm, and you see 250, 300 deer run across the field, and you're like, yeah, I like to deer hunt. I think I can make this work, you know. So, and Tara's like, look, I have a requirement. You need to be able to get on a plane, and I don't want to be in the sticks, so we got to be within an hour of Des Moines. So that's where we landed, and we love it there. We could live anywhere together, but and our son, kind of, he was, and even our daughter, they wanted to live in America, in the heartland of America too, where their kids' kids could enjoy the farm lifestyle, the same things I enjoyed. So we made the transition, and. Gosh, I guess 8 years ago now.
8 years.
Yeah, gotcha. A little over 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. A little less crowded out there, too, I imagine.
A little less crowded. Delaware. Great people. Great community we live in. You know, it's farm. It's heartland of America. The deer hunting is phenomenal. But I don't want to encourage anybody to move there because it's cold in the winter. The gravel roads are awful. It's probably 125, 130 out there today. It's hot. EHD got all the deer. There's no deer left. I think the EHD is over in the turkeys now. There's no turkeys to hunt. So
this sounds like more of the Hopkins mind games there.
Yeah, so, no, it's a beautiful place.
So now for your shooting, so you do ASA. What else is in your archery calendar? What else do you do?
Well, usually this year is a little different. I decided to pull back the reins a little bit. In all my years that I was competing and very successful at ASA, that's all I shot.
Oh, okay.
I didn't shoot the IBOs at that time. I shot just a very select few.
No kidding.
And then I guess in the early 2001, I was like, well, let's go shoot Vegas, you know. And I went there the first time and won it.
That was your first time. We talked about this earlier today. I didn't know that was the first time you went.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. And jeez. So I shot it a lot over the years, but I've never been – look, everybody has their passion and their game in archery, whether it be 3D or known or unknown. It's the beautiful thing about it. We can all go play a game we love. And I love the competitive side of it, but it's just outdoors 3D is – I love it. I truly still to this day, I love the challenge. It's a game. It's a game of chess. Literally in the archery world, you have to judge it. You're aiming at something you can't see. You got to deal with the elements of the outdoors of wind and rain, you know, bugs.
Yeah.
My chiggers love me. Ticks, you know, indoors you don't have that and you can't miss. It's really now a game of you don't miss. And
right.
So I've scaled back a little bit. I'll probably shoot Vegas again, maybe next year. Or the following year, but I'm just going to scale back a little bit and enjoy really showing up more than prepared for some of my 3D tournaments that I love to compete in.
Now, so. You said that, like, this past weekend, okay, we were just in London, Kentucky. The other guys in your class struggled. I mean, that was apparent out there. And then you came in 2 day total, 21 up. I think you went into the shoot down with a 13-point lead. Were you just feeling it out there or just numbers were hitting you good? Or were you, I mean, I guess your numbers were working, your shot was working.
There's a lot of factors. Okay. So in the last several years, and my wife and I on the way home from or actually the way here, we talked about a lot of, you're sitting behind the windshield looking out the window, you talk about a lot of stuff. And one thing that we really, you know, hit home was, and you have time to talk about it, so what are your weaknesses over the last several years in archery? And I've corrected those. And, you know, that builds confidence in your setup and yourself going to a tournament. One thing, I'm not spreading myself thin going to all these other tournaments, and I'm preparing for the next ASA or an IBO, you know, and that's just the truth. I mean, you have a different, different setup.
Right.
For that. And it takes time to build confidence in those setups. So you can really focus on, you know, one race. And so when, you know, the last couple of years, and I'll kind of rewind back a little bit, and it doesn't happen overnight. When I made the decision to go shoot for Martin Archery, I had so many great companies send me bows, and I set them up out on my patio, and, you know, I had a target down there at 60 yards, and I said, I'm going to set these bows up, and every day for a month, I'm just going to grab them and shoot three arrows. And that's going to be a huge factor of where I decide to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people, you know, the bow first. If I can win with it, you know, other things will come in. But I want to talk to the people too and find out what direction they want to go in. And so Martin Bowes shot phenomenal. I was very happy with the bow. And then I talked to the president and the vice president and their engineer. And, you know, this bow that I'm shooting now, the Legend 730, started 3 years ago. And it just input back and ideas, and then it's just, you know, time. It takes time to, if you want to do it right, it takes time to do it. And
right.
So one thing led to another, and here we are. But along that way, strings on a bow or the Achilles heel of a bow. I've corrected that. We can check that off. They're very well-built strings. The bow itself, everything that goes into a Martin bow. When I say a Martin bow now, even their hunting bows, there is no corners cut. On the Legend bow, the riser is beyond anything else on the market.
And this is the Legend 730. Yes. This is the Jeff Hopkins signature bow.
So there's been a lot that goes into that. I mean, a lot. And nothing was skimped. So you check some weaknesses. And I'm not saying they're, you know, points in an archery tournament. If you can pick up points in that direction where your bow's not changing, you're hitting behind the pin every target every day, you don't move anything left or right, it builds confidence in your setup. And so all of that. And then several years ago, I've always struggled personally with in my shooting style of release. I don't like travel. I don't like releases that don't feel well in my hand. So, you know, quality, you know, really well-built stuff. You know, I've been in the industry a long time, and I was able to have a meeting with Greg Summers. And I've known Greg since he's president of Trueball.
Yep.
And met with Greg, and I had an idea. And a lot of it was some of the old stuff that I'd shot years ago from Brand X, and then other ideas of along the way changing some internal parts of a release to make them more durable. You know, just if anybody buys anything, they want that. They want, you know, changeability, but also durable probably more than anything else. So I sat down with Greg, and we bounced some ideas off. Met with our head engineer, Mark, and that's the other piece of the puzzle. I think the go-to release that I have now, and I don't want to sound like an infomercial, but it's the truth. I mean,
no,
as a pro archer, you have to have confidence in your equipment.
Right.
You got to have confidence in yourself, but you got to have confidence in your equipment.
Well, and we talked about this earlier, too. It's one thing for an engineer to design something, but you use it.
Yes.
So they can tell you how something should work.
Yes.
You know how it does work.
Yeah, and the feedback, you know, we both clash on some things. Like, I don't want it that way. Why? This is easier to do this way. No, this is the way it's going to look. This feels better this way.
Right.
This is going to work. I think this will work. And so that was a huge part of this, you know, Darren Christenberry asked me that in the shoot down round with CAM Media. He's like, you know, the resurgent. There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah, confidence. But it's confidence in my equipment and the way stuff's put together, and it carries onto the field. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, I never pushed archery on our son, Scott. I never did. He either wants to shoot or he doesn't. I'm just blessed to have a wonderful son. I mean, he's amazing.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. Tara and I did really, really good. And he always wanted to hunt. He's crazy about hunting. One of the reasons also why we moved to Iowa. And several years ago now, he's like, I want to go to a 3D tournament with you. This is like 3 years ago. And he started shooting some, and he'd shoot. And, you know, he just little baby steps, you know. And so now he's shooting in the pro class last year and this year. And he's practicing with me. And we're having a great time. We're having a lot of fun. And some of the things that Curtis has been gone for 4 years, and then my success along the years, you know, I keep notes on a lot of stuff. But the things I'm teaching Scott are from my experience, but very much so the words coming out from Curtis still this day. And that's a compliment to, you know, to Curtis, because I love that man, and just owe him a lot of, you know, to my success.
Right.
You know, good. You got to have good people around you. I got a amazing wife. I got amazing kids. I'm a grandpa. I got amazing mom and dad, amazing sponsors. You know, archery's 99% mental, they say. I don't, right now in the current time of my life, I'm at peace. I don't have a lot of stuff on my plate to worry about. So it's a broad spectrum of why success right now.
So do you and Scott, do you go out and like, do you try and practice together when you're at home, or
yes.
does it just happen that way? You yes. try and do it that way.
Yeah, we try to set a time. We're on Central Time, and we know that we'll be shooting at 7:30 in the morning Eastern Time. So we try to get up early in the morning, 5:30, 5:45, get up early, you know, get out there. We're practicing. We're, you know, 7:30 in the morning if we're in London, Kentucky, or like this past tournament or future tournaments, it's dark early in the morning. You know, you're maybe a little groggy. So you kind of build your and also if we practice for a few hours and shoot some 3D targets and we're done for the day, and then we can go work on farming. And then, you know, it works out.
I mean, your first target on Saturday, Bill McCall called me over. He said, PJ, I want you to come over here and look at this target.
Yeah.
I think it was an Audad. I'm still not sure because I didn't even know where he was pointing to that you had to shoot down there.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I got to imagine knowing how to dissect those targets has to be an advantage.
So I'm 52 years old, and I've been doing this since I was in my early 20s, okay? So when I walked up there, I always look at a target when I'm judging, and short of like a shortstop, and you have to throw the ball to first base. You don't think about it, right? I mean, you just react. In archery, judging yardage is a lot like that after all these years. I mean, when you look at a target, you react. And usually I start with a high number and a low number real quick, you know, where let's say, you know, usually within 2 yards, like on a hard target that's 50 yards, let's say my low number may be 48.5 to 51. And then you kind of calculate the ground and the trees around it, whatever it may be, or other arrows have been launched before you, and da-da-da-da-da, and so on. You put the puzzle together, and the law of averages, that's what you go with, right? That first target, whew, I started out with like 41 in it. My other high number was 50, and that never
happened.
Nine
yards.
And then I'm like standing there, I'm going, all right, Hopkins, I mean, really? You've been doing this a long time. Just put 46 yards on it, hold in the middle. You don't need a 12. You got to, you know, I don't know what 7-point lead or 5-point lead you can give up. If I shoot an 8 or 5 here, I'm still good. Just make a great shot.
And just hit foam.
Yeah, hit a 10 and go to the next target. And those first 3 targets, that were brutal.
They were pretty rough. You know,
I'm like, boy, I'm glad I got 12s a day before at the end.
Well, getting back to the Martin Legend 730 bow. So that, tell me what that feels like, that you're 52. Now you have your name on a bow. You have your stamp on it. This is one that you helped build. You probably could have done this 20 years ago.
Yeah, and but, you know, good cooking takes time sometimes. I mean,
I like that. You know,
so. And now I'm so proud and honored, and it's really cool to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. And I've always been, you know, I take pride in my name and take pride in what I do. I mean, that's just my grandpa, my dad, you know, my family tree. We're proud, as all families should be. And but when you put your name on something and it goes out the door, it's like the go-to release with Trueball as well. Man, I don't want any parts of this if it has any flaws. I want it right.
Yeah.
And so whatever you want, Jeff. So we're going to do it right. And the same technology, they're on board and they're doing the same exact thing. So all their hunting bows now, everything. So Martin Archery's you know, been around a long time, been making a lot of for years. The new ownership, the new direction they're going in is amazing right now to be a part of. It really is.
What would you say was the most significant thing in your mind that you put into, that you had them do on this bow?
That's top secret.
Is it really?
It is.
Okay. We don't have to go there.
There are some things that we hit on that I'm pretty sure that when other people get it in their hands and they shoot at some, it's going to elevate their game in it. That's
gotcha.
It's
okay. All right. We can leave it there.
So, yeah.
But now I did want to go back to the go-to. I wanted to ask, so this is a release that is adjustable. You can activate it with your pinky or with your thumb.
It got released at the ATO show, not this past
right.
year, the year before, and it was the best in show product.
Best in show.
So, yeah, it's
it's pinky. Index or thumb.
Yes.
Or no, pinky or index.
It's pinky or index.
I can't remember. I knew it was both those. And it's do you activate it?
I shoot it with a pinky.
You shoot the pinky.
Yeah, okay. It's on our hands. It's the least sensitive part of our fingers. So there's less feel there when you grab a hold of it. And there's several ways you can shoot that release. I can shoot it pure back tension, or I can squeeze and shoot it just like a regular squeeze release, or I can deactivate the pinky or the index trigger finger and roll with it either way. And I love to hunt with it too, because white-tailed deer hunting, you put your bow on a real tree, easy hanger, and you hang your bow up there, and you know your release is ready to rock there. And go.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so when you asked the question a little while ago, it's not one thing.
Right.
It's a large group of things, being able to practice with Scott, the release, and of course the bow. But it's not just the bow. The strings that are on the bows now, the internal parts to a bow, every little minute detail to it, the way the riser's cut out, the way the, you know, there's no flex in the riser. I mean, just little things that add up to, well, how are you, you know, shooting these 12s and consistently right now? And, you know, from the first tournament I shot with it, at some point, you know, sure, somebody else is going to win. I've won the last two that I've shot with it. So, but right now, it's confidence in the bow.
It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do anything besides hunting, farming, archery?
Work.
That's the farming.
Yeah. Work. Well, when you have a farm, there's always something to do.
Lots
of stuff.
There's
mowing
yeah.
and tree limbs out in the field, or, you know, fencing, or there's always stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you are probably the most experienced person I've talked to as far as being in the archery business from the shooter's point of view. Has it changed immensely from the business side of archery for the archer from like when you started to now?
That's a loaded question as far as, gosh, I don't know. I mean, you could go in a lot of different directions. I think the side that personally that I love to see, okay, you have a wonderful presence now of the S3DA program that just we saw in Kentucky.
Yep.
All the kids. I got done the shoot down round. My right arm got sore from signing autographs with kids. You know, the JOAD program. You have the NAS program. You have a lot of young people that are getting into archery that, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I think.
We didn't have that.
No.
I'm 54.
I didn't have that. So, that,
no.
that's a wonderful thing. I think that's a huge, you know, growth that, you know, I don't plant corn and harvest it the next week. It takes months to grow a crop of corn. Well, yeah. You know, in archery, you're not going to get all your knowledge and all your success overnight in archery. And archery, look, I'm a big, strong, tough guy. And Jenny Richardson that started the NAS program summed it up best. You have so many kids that can't be the star quarterback or the starting pitcher, but they can shoot an X and beat on that arrow. You know, the kid beside them that's, you know, a foot taller and stronger and everything. And that's the beauty of archery. And
right.
My wife, Tara, who's here in the studio, summed it up best when we started shooting back in the 91, 92 and going to local clubs. I just want to beat Jeff on one target today.
Did she ever do it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, and if I was to go play golf with Tiger Woods,
oh, yeah.
I don't think I could do that, you know? So, that's cool stuff.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So, you know, there's been so many changes in archery, but that's a really cool one. When you back off and look at it, I wish that was around when I was a kid to be able to go to middle school and high school and compete.
Right.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of great archers come out of that.
Yeah, that's for sure. So you famously fell out of a tree stand. I mean, I didn't even know who you were, and I heard about that.
Yeah, that was a bad day. That was a bad few months of my life. So
broke your shoulder in three places. You said it was the end of August, so that season was pretty much over. Anyway.
Yeah, it was over with. And so, you know, when you're being airlifted out, your life, because I didn't know whether I was paralyzed or, you know, what the next step
right.
of my life was going to be. So that was a rough day, rough few months. And thank God for, you know, all the people that put me back together and, you know, my wife's, you know, standing beside me and, you know, the physical therapy. But Dr. James Andrews, you know, he put his hands on me and fixed me down in Birmingham.
There had to be a time when you were thinking, I don't know if I'll shoot again.
Nah.
No?
Nah, there was one period, I will say. So in January, and I haven't told many people this, but so in January, I had an indoor range where we lived, and, you know, late January, I'm like, I'll go pick up my bow. And from the year before, I hadn't shot all winter. Couldn't.
For sure.
I couldn't even think about shooting a bow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'll go there. I'll go shoot. You know. And I went in there and I couldn't draw my bow back. And I cried. I'm like, what have I done? You know? And so I got with another physical therapist there and we got working on it and working on it. And I don't know, 4 or 5 days before going to Florida, you know, my contracts were I had to show up and shoot to get paid, you know, and so, you know, and make money. So enough exercises, you know, I got there and I had shot 10 arrows out of that bow before Florida. And I don't know if I shot the pro-am or not. I don't think I did. I shot like 5 targets on the practice range and I said, well, I'll fight my way through it. I ended up making the shoot off. And I think, what did I finish, third, Tara? I finished second or third, you know. And I remember getting to Jacksonville Airport because it was in Gainesville. And I called Dr. Andrews and he had me crying. He's like, I don't know how you did that.
But I mean, did
not many people know that because I don't want sympathy at that time or even now. I was the dumb nuts that went up the tree and didn't tie in properly and fell. But
had you turned your bow way down?
I left it on 67 pounds from the year before. I didn't have time to sight it in. I didn't. And then I started getting my strength back. I won the Triple Crown that year in IBO. That year. And I still hurt from it. I'll make no bones about it. My shoulder still hurts. But
I bet you can tell when it's going to rain.
Yeah. But that was bad enough. 3.5 years ago, I had a chainsaw accident. I was cutting a tree down on the farm, a dead tree, and it clipped me in my left leg. And I spent 21 days in the hospital.
Oh, I don't think I knew about that one.
Yeah.
Because it crushed you or it cut you?
Well, it was a kick out. It was a tree, a really big red oak, and it clipped between my knee and my ankle. It hit me on my left leg, and it swelled up where to the point they thought they're going to have to amputate my leg.
Oh, really?
And so you have compartment syndrome. So I was 21 days in the hospital, and I don't know how many surgeries, and still didn't know whether I was out of the wood losing my leg.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the first two tournaments that year, and I couldn't even go down and pull my arrows. I couldn't even walk.
No.
So I went to the ASA. That's why when I talk about not missing an ASA tournament, I've had some interesting bumps along the way.
I'll bet.
So, yeah.
So that's all better now?
Yeah. And my leg will never be right. For the most part. It hurts.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. So. Farming sounds like it's dangerous stuff. And the hunting.
Yeah. Living on the edge.
So, did want to talk to you about the, was it two years or 3 years that you got to shoot there with Scott in the Open Pro division? I know you like that.
Yep. Yeah, I could have been shooting in the Senior Pro.
Right.
And I'm like, how cool would it be to make the shoot off of my son, you know? And
you were so close. One of the tournaments,
several of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he'd have a great first day, and he'd be sitting in second place, and you know, we're in the top five, and Dad would tank. You know, I'd have a rough day, and then I'd have a great second day, and he'd have we didn't collide on that, and that's kind of sad, but we laugh about it, and just to be able to say that is really cool for me.
For sure.
And I know it is for him too, but I light up on that whole subject.
Is there something, anything out there left that you want to accomplish in archery? I mean, you've won everything, but I don't know if there's some goal you have.
Personally, I don't know. I want to go elk hunting with my son, and you know that. Yeah, you know, I'd love to. I definitely want to be there when he wins one, you know.
All right.
You know, but me personally, I don't know. I've far surpassed all my original goals. And you win one and you're like, well, I want to win again or this side or the other. But just have fun.
You know, sitting here now where you are at this table, if somebody had told you this back in 1992, what would you think? They were just nuts?
I don't know. I'm pretty determined. I mean,
even then you were like, I'm going to do this.
Oh yeah. Yep. I was very determined, and I think that's what it takes. I tell my son all the time, I'm like, you know, you can practice all you want and you can work all, but you got to kick the door down. I mean, and you got to get strong enough to, you know, take the storms and the hurricanes and the tornadoes of life that throw at you, and, you know, stay mentally tough and physically tough and just kick the door down.
All right, folks, kicking the door down. That's what we're going to try to do here at Competition Archery Media now. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you taking time. We know you're in your tournament season. Appreciate you stopping in for a visit.
Yep. It's always a great visit at Lancaster.
All right, folks, another episode of the Competition Archery Media podcast. You can find our podcast on all your favorite platforms. Thanks for joining us.